Welcome to Worker Movement, a podcast dedicated to the working class, a podcast dedicated to raising class consciousness. This podcast is for you, for us, for the worker.
On August 23rd, 2021, the FDA approved their first COVID-19 vaccine, the vaccine formerly known as the Pfizer vaccine. Instead, we're all supposed to start using the commercial name Comirnaty. I was on the fence about getting vaccinated, but with a name like Comirnaty, my hesitation is completely gone. We'll talk later in the episode about what this approval means for vaccination rates, but spoiler alert, it will have no effect. For the record, the Moderna vaccine's commercial name is Spikevax, which is clearly better. Pfizer may have gotten approval first, and there's no reason to believe Moderna won't, but if we're keeping score, Moderna clearly has the better marketing department.
Can you imagine being like the marketing team that's like, I think they're going to approve it tomorrow, we need a fucking name, and they're like,
Literally anything would have been better than what they chose.
Oh, God. And now they have things like Fortune magazine. I'm just searching for the first time, like trying to do pure propaganda by writing stories about the naming of it to make you feel better about. Oh, wow. Oh, okay. The brand name for the Pfizer vaccine is a mouthful, but it's not new. Oh, no, of course not. In fact, it has been around since last December. There's even a name for the generic version of the drug. Whenever that hits the market, Tozinemarin.
Assuming you got one of these coolly named vaccines, if you got it more than 8 months ago, according to Joe Biden's guidance, you would be eligible for a third booster shot, which is literally the exact same shot you already received, but you're getting it a third time. There's no Delta variant specific derivative of this. And the reason this booster shot is needed is because the mRNA vaccines appear to wane in their effectiveness over time. There was a study out of the UK, Turf Island, that discussed the rate at which your immunity waned. And the thinking as to why this happened is that the trial study design was incentivized to reward short-term immunity. The way the trial was conducted was they wanted to optimize individuals' immunity to COVID. And that was measured over a relatively short period of time. It wasn't measured 8 months out because they functionally couldn't measure 8 months out. So they chose the dosing regimen that yielded the best results and whatever the trial window was. Well, it turns out their trial window was too short and the distance between the doses probably should have been longer.
No shit. So would you say Canada was right?
Canada got the most out of their vaccines by smashing everybody with the first mRNA dose and then wrapping back around and doing a second dose. That appears to have a better efficacy long-term against COVID.
I think so too. Fucking smart Canadians. I don't care what they say about them behind their back. According to another study, if you have the Moderna or the Pfizer vaccine, you have the same viral load as you would if you didn't have a vaccine. It just seems to be a death reducer.
So there's a little bit of a conflation between asymptomatic symptoms, whether you have the vaccine or you don't have the vaccine.
Yep.
And when you're testing the vaccine through a trial and you're an individual in the trial, how do you actually know that you have COVID if you don't have symptoms?
Oh, good question. You don't.
The study you're talking about was conducted by the University of Wisconsin and looked at 11 counties, including Dane County, which is where Madison is located, which is also where the University of Wisconsin is located. It's a preprint study, which means it hasn't been peer-reviewed, so there could be some fatal flaw and none of this is accurate. But assuming it is valid and we have no reason to believe it's not, the study predominantly looked at the viral load in patients with COVID who did and did not have a vaccine. The two main conclusions of the paper are, one, that when a vaccinated individual gets COVID, they basically have the same viral load as somebody that wasn't vaccinated. So viral load is basically just a measure of how much COVID is in your body. And then secondly, this leads to the implication that people with a breakthrough infection can still spread COVID. The paper notes that protection against severe disease and death is still robust, but people that are vaccinated need to be taking precautions such as social distancing and masking. The vaccines do not provide sterilizing immunity. If you get COVID and are vaccinated, you can spread it to others. The study doesn't investigate asymptomatic spread, but our own personal speculation is that people with the vaccine who are asymptomatic may not know they are infected because they don't exhibit symptoms, but they still may be able to spread COVID to others.
We care about the population and we don't want anybody to die from it, so it's important that everybody gets vaccinated. But the real question is it living up to what it's saying it's supposed to be doing? And that's primarily going to be the issue with Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine that's going to require a booster. Because we don't know if it actually reduces the amount of viral load in the entire population or if it just reduces the amount of death. Because spreading it everywhere just means we get to herd immunity faster. I mean, being vaccinated with Pfizer and going to a baseball game seems to have no real apparent helpfulness beyond you just not dying.
Which is good and a reason why everybody should get vaccinated. But it's an individualistic thing, effectively, where people can't just get the vaccine and think they're helping the world because you're still spreading it.
Yeah, you're still being an asshole, right? I mean, you're still there, spreading it. At what point does herd immunity actually become a thing? Because you're forced to have it or not. Because we know that Joe Biden doesn't have a plan for COVID.
Zero plan.
We know that by not forcing federal requirements on any of the vaccination, that any of the states, that there's no way to enforce vaccinations. I mean, there was a time in which they forced the drinking age change through fucking job funding or through road funding, right? States had to legally change their drinking age to 21 in order to be eligible for federal road funds. That still exists nowadays. You could do that same law. I mean, the Department of Education had to come out and say you can't cut funding, federal funding from schools for mask mandates. They do the same thing. They could say you don't get, your state does not get any federal state money unless you have a on the books vaccination requirements for all teachers.
It would literally be a rulemaking administrative directive from DHS or Department of Education, where through the executive branch, you could literally mandate vaccines or masks and tie it to funding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Could do it right now. Maybe there's a 45-day public comment window. Who gives a shit? The FCC smashed away net neutrality with political bullshit from Verizon and AT&T. If there was the will, the executive branch could figure out how to tie COVID vaccinations or masks to some sort of executive power and just do it.
And just do it. And slam it down the throat to people like DeSantis. Just slam it down his throat, Abbott, slam it down their throat. But he doesn't care. He can't hardly fucking talk. Kamala can't even take a fucking trip to Southeast Asia without fuddling it all up and sounding like an asshole.
She got Havana syndrome. Give her a break. So let's talk about the one thing that Biden has used to enforce some sort of public health regulations on the general public. And that is, he has asked corporations to impose certain restrictions. And when we say he has asked, we don't know that he picked up the phone and slurred out.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
But the only regulatory action that has been taken is by corporation. And that's one of the most neoliberal things possible.
It's the most frightening idea that you're relying on the fact that a corporation is going to make it part of your job requirement to get vaccinated because that's the only mechanism to enforcement to maintain capitalism. It has nothing to do with your health. It has everything to do with making sure that capitalism is spending money the way it needs to be spent. That's the incentive. It's not health. It's not making sure herd immunity is reached through vaccination and not through death. It is quite literally to get you back to spending money because that's how it works.
So it's profitable, not necessarily because vaccine mandates or mask mandates are healthy or safe. It's a means to an end, and the end is profitability.
They can tell their shareholders that they've maximized shareholder value by getting people back to work, by taking a risk and mandating, mask wearing. It's so disgusting. It's one of the most fascist fucking ideas there is. It'd be like them saying, please don't evict people. The government exists to regulate businesses in neoliberal land, right? It's not there for the corporations to regulate themselves, and that's exactly what this is. It's so bonkers ass crazy, dude.
And what should be happening at a governmental level is that the government should be saying, hey, we have all these resources, and the people in government and the people as represented by government wish to not die of COVID. So how do we go about making sure people are safe? And mask mandates and vaccines and mailing everybody an N95 mask in the mail every single day and mailing out do-it-yourself at-home tests every single day could totally be done and would keep people safe. But what if instead of doing that, we just incentivize corporations to do what's in the best interest of health implicitly, but for profit? Seems like a good plan, right?
Well, it's the only plan I can think of that's going to work. How would you get McDonald's back to work? Force them to wear masks and serve the people who don't want to wear masks. Put everybody's life in danger. That's literally what's happening, just so everybody's aware, right? Just so that we're on the same page. McDonald's serves individuals in the area who don't want to wear masks. All their employees are at risk every day by individuals who just want a hamburger. Come on, guys. I just want a hamburger. If McDonald's is forcing their employees to wear a mask, why don't they enforce all of their customers to wear a mask? And the answer is, we just talked about it, capitalism. Right, there's no incentive for them to force their customers to be vaccinated because they don't really give a shit about your health. They give a shit about whether or not they're going to make money, right? So that's how you know that it's not about the employee, it's not about the worker, it's primarily about making money.
So now that the Pfizer vaccine has full approval, there seems to be this notion that all of these corporations are going to mandate vaccines. And I think that premise is flawed for a couple of reasons. But the first one is it was already legal to discriminate based on vaccination status, not a protected class, and there's federal case law on this. We talked about this in episodes in months past. Nothing fundamentally changes from a legal perspective with full approval from the FDA on the Pfizer vaccine. And then secondly, there seems to be this idea that, oh, there's a lot of people out there, and they're just waiting for full FDA approval to know it's safe.
Huh, who are these people?
I have no idea. Like, if you are an individual and you don't want a vaccine, what are some examples of your rationale?
You're autoimmune compromised, right?
Completely legitimate reason.
Even though we don't believe in religion, you're a Jehovah's Witness who has a history of rejecting liquids in their body from outside sources.
It's a firmly held belief with documentation.
It's a firmly held belief. People have died of rabies because they won't get that. They have died of not getting blood transfusion. It's a firmly held belief for whatever reason it is. It's just their belief. I guess that's legitimate. Let's say that you have an allergy to one of the shots. Fine, you can't get the shot. But other than that, I don't even see how this is a risk. I mean, the yellow fever shot that they make the U.S. soldiers get when they go to, like, the jungle areas is way worse for you than these shots. No one bitches a bitch about it. It's just common everyday thing. You can say the FDA is flawed, but that would question then every single vaccination on the market, because the same exact procedure to approve this vaccine has been done for every other vaccine on the market.
This is an inability to understand an institutional bias or an institutional flaw, where if you're really sitting on the fence because you're like, geez, I don't know if it's safe. At some level, you're questioning Pfizer being a like profit-driven pharmaceutical company and like, I don't know if they care about my safety. And the answer is they don't. They care about profit. But, you know, it'd be really detrimental to their profits if their vaccine killed a bunch of fucking people. So having this institutional view that the system is fucked up, but then simultaneously being like, well, the FDA, they've done a really great job. And, you know, once we get full approval, I'm going to have full faith in this institution to keep me safe. Like, there's no, like, rational path to make that inference, I guess.
No, dude. Like I can't actually comprehend, and nor should I comprehend, how fucking psychotic majority of people are when it comes to the vaccine scare. Like, I don't fundamentally get it. Yeah, if you fall in demographics where you might get blood clots, okay, it's not known. Or you get the heart swelling, it's not known. Okay, there's a lot of uncertainties here. It's really no different, though, than any other drug that's on the market. I mean, people took Zantac without knowing that it caused cancer.
And it does cause cancer, and it got recalled.
But you spent 15 years, whatever it is, taking it. So, like, there is a risk at everything you take, and it still was, guess what, FDA approved, and not only was it FDA approved, it was FDA approved for over-the-counter, because it was considered so safe that individuals could self-medicate with it, and it wouldn't cause a problem. So the whole question about safety is all based on fear and fear-mongering, and yes, it's dangerous and scary, or whatever you want to say it is, sure, but not really. Not when you compare it to, like, how much gasoline vapor you inhale when you pump gas. How much plastic you ingest, right? Like, there's so much other things in the world that you, like, put in your body that are small relative to this.
And the idea that you were right on the fence, and then once the FDA made it official, you were like, I believe. Like, it just makes absolutely no sense from this totally irrational point of view of not wanting a vaccine that this is going to tip you over the edge. Makes no sense. And then the other thing about the vaccine opposition is completely irrational, where people are so caught up in not wanting the vaccine that they're like, well, I'm going to treat myself with horse dewormers to keep myself safe if I get COVID. And it's like, okay, so you won't take a vaccine specifically developed to treat COVID, but you'll take an actual drug for animals that has nothing related to COVID because you think that's going to keep you safe.
It's for worms, deworming them. It enters into your bloodstream and your muscles and makes the worm get out of your body. That's not the same thing as an antiviral.
And for these reasons, we're pretty confident that the vaccination rate in the U.S. is going to stay pretty stable. The Pfizer approval isn't going to have any material impact on herd immunity or a large societal improvement in vaccination status.
Because Biden has no COVID plan, institutions have had to step in now and begin to essentially do the role the government is supposed to do, which is neoliberalism. The corporations are the government, the government is the corporations, because they're going to impose these policies on the people, on the workers. Not because it's good for you or the worker, but because it's good for profits. And the only thing that we can do is to stop neoliberalism. That's the first phase of tearing down capitalism. And the way the worker is empowered is to keep wearing a mask, and in fact, wear an N95 mask. Because the only way to beat capitalism is to be the one alive and fighting it.
For future episodes and to learn more about the worker movement, join us at workermovement.com.